Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is your boy, your host, Deacon Chauncey Odom, coming to you from the barbershop. Before we get started, having technical difficulties, we're going to go to a music by the Prince. Twan Prince, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. Hello? Oh, man, what happened? Oh, man. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
This, who is
this? This is Craig Howard from the Life Changing State of Georgia. Who is this?
Yo, what's up, Craig? Hold on for a second.
Oh, all right.
Hello? Caller, what's your name? Hello? Hello, hello, hello. We're having difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. Just hold on for a second, please. We're going to go to a song by Twan Prince, Can't Nobody Do Me Like.
My friends out here to help you sing this song. We're gonna take it back old school style, you know what I'm saying? Like that. I got a testimony. Goes a little something like this. Hey, yo, fellas, drop it.
Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody do me
the Lord, the one who died to save my soul. His name is more precious than silver or gold, the greatest story that ever was told. He died to set us free. I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me. Way back in the day in Calvary is where it all happened in history. Nobody can do me like him, the light of my life when life is dim. He washed away my life and sin, that's why I'm chasing after him. He's the reason I'm still breathing. I'm telling you once again, nobody can do me like Jesus, no.
Ain't nobody do me like Jesus.
Woo!
Nobody do me like Jesus.
That was Twan Prince, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. Romy Rome?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, buddy?
So much. How you doing today?
Man, I'm having a boy. This ain't my day today, but I'm still here.
Oh, it's still your day.
I've been having difficulties with this studio, but we're going to go ahead and get started. As usual, this is your host, Deacon Chauncey Odom, better known as Chauncey Odom, your host, yo boy. Got my co-host, Jerome Pittman, straight from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. He's one of my best friends. Before we get started, we're going to go ahead and go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this wonderful day that you have made. God, thank you for the strength that you gave us to wake up this morning, to open our eyes, to use our limbs. God, we give you all the glory for the things that you do, God, the small things, the big things. God, we come before you today asking you to cover all the men today that's listening, the ones that's not listening. God, touch their heart that they'll open up to other brothers so we can link arms together and change this world, to change our community, to change the society, our school and our churches. God, give us the strength to become the men that you called us to be, which was great. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, sorry we're running a little behind, but, you know, nothing but the enemy trying to attack the show today. Whatever it is he's trying to do, he can forget it because I'm going to keep right on moving. Today I'm going to read from Romans 12 and 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. That's Romans 12 and 10. Today we was doing part two of that awesome show we had last weekend at the round table, but it seems like, you know, just going to be me and Rome at the round table today, which is fine with me. You know, we got to do what thus says the Lord. You know, no matter what the situation is, I got to keep this show up and running, so that's what we're going to do today. With that being said, Jerome, what's going on with you today, buddy?
Well, just taking it easy and enjoying this joyous day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it, brother.
Yeah, I know that's right. We had an awesome service today at church, and I've been fired up ever since. But, you know, like I said, the enemy's been trying to tap me not to do this show. But, you know, I'm steady moving. So I'm not even going to let that get to me, no one else get to me. With that being said, you know, we got a couple of callers. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart showing some support and love today, which is always good to see families that's on the call and friends that's on the call, you know. But, you know, like I said, I'm just doing what God called me to do, is to reach out to my brothers, you know, to let them know that, you know, everything is going to be all right. We're here for you. The barbershop format is, you know, what we're here to do is uplift our brothers. You know, to tell them and to let them know that we're here. You know, there's no shame in your game of coming to another brother asking for help, letting the brother know that, you know, the things that you're going through. And don't let people tell you that, you know, don't go to another man for help, because we all one another's brother. We are all our brother's keepers. And with that being said, me and Jerome have the compassion heart to, you know, help our brothers no matter what the situation is. And I thank God for letting Jerome, you know, my friend, that we've been friends for many years, and who thought that we would be on a blog talk show, you know, trying to help our brothers realize that, you know, you still have a second chance at life, because anytime God gave you the breath, to breathe and to get up the next day, then he giving you a chance to get it right. You know, like I said, we're not here to beat you up. We're not here to tear you down. But we're here to give you honor. We're here to help you. We just want to be your friend. You know, it's my heart is compassion for my brothers, because I've been out there in the world, and I know how it feels not to have nobody, you know, no brother you can turn to. But, you know, I thank God for changing my mindset and my heart that there was brothers out there that came to me when I needed some help or when I needed to talk, when I needed to vent. And that what led me to where I'm at today. And I get, you know, I honor my brothers who was there for me no matter what the situation was. Like I said, they didn't judge me, and I thank them for not judging me, but I really thank them for opening up their heart and their home, you know, to let me come in and be able to vent and get things off of my chest. It's just been a wonderful day today. Like, you know, I'm just glad that God gave me a second chance to see this day. And I was kind of upset today a little bit, and I thought, you know, the devil was attacking, but, you know, I'm good now. You know, I just had to calm myself down. You know, I'm on the show today with my co-host, Jerome. And, Jerome, how was your week so far?
Well, everything was blessed. I can't complain. God woke me up to be able to see another day. He gave me life, health, and strength. I got all the functions in my limbs, and I don't have anything to complain about, bro. I really don't. I'm just thankful. Just glad to be here.
I know, that's right. I feel the same way. You, like I said, folks, we usually have guys at the round table, but, you know, it's going back to the old format today with just me and Jerome, which is all right with me. And, you know, we got a couple of callers that's listening. Jerome, what you think about the NBA Finals so far after Game 1?
Well, personally, I thought it was a good game. And, you know, I really hate what happened to Kyrie Irving, because, you know, that's going to change the whole game plan up for Cleveland. But I really like Golden State, because Golden State is really playing some serious ball. And I think it's going to be a good series late on tonight. What do you think about it?
I enjoyed it. I stayed up to catch that first game, and that was one of the best games I've seen in the NBA Finals in a while. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the night is going to bring. And I'm about like you. If Irving don't play tonight, it's a wrap for the Heat. And I don't think they have their bench is not strong enough to deal with Golden State. And the only way they'll win tonight is Curry, his road dog, Thomas, and the other crew. If them boys don't step up, they have an off night, Cleveland got a chance. But right now, I don't see Cleveland having a chance at all.
Well, right now, they keep playing like they're playing, because I think it's still playing out there in Golden State. I think they're still at home. If they're still at home, then it's up to Cleveland. Cleveland got to come through. And LeBron really got to step his game up. And not just only LeBron, the rest of the team. They're going to have to step their game up. Else, it's pretty much going to be a wrap, because then it goes back to Cleveland. And then if Golden State wins one game in Cleveland, man, that's going to be a wrap. But it's going to be exciting to see.
Mhm. Another thing, I want your opinion on this. I've been looking at the news, and when I see it, I don't even bother taking heed to it or really get in a discussion about it, because the situation is, you know, with this Bruce Jenner thing, you know, what is your opinion on it? Because I mean, when I see it, you know, I just can't condone that situation. I mean, God made you a man. What in the world would make you want to become a woman when God created you? If He wanted you to be a woman, He would have made you a woman.
Well, Chauncey, all it is a spirit of confusion. That's all. That's all it is. The devil just busy. He taking old people's mind. It's just a spirit of confusion. You know, you still gotta love him because he still is a soul, and that's a soul that gotta be witnessed and went over to the kingdom of God. So it's just a spirit of confusion. So.
Yeah, I just pray that, you know, that he will realize what he's doing is not of God, and you know, just, you know, like you said, just keep him in prayer. You know.
Yeah, keep him in prayer.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. Like I said, I agree with you. You know, I just tend not to dwell on it. You know, only thing I can do is just put it in God's hand. And one day that he'll realize what he done was not of God, and that the people around him that's really his friend and that know God, that they will speak up and, you know, say what's on their mind and don't be scared to say anything about it.
Pastor, I'm gonna tell you what really getting me, that the publicity that it's getting. I mean, really? I mean it's a whole lot more things I hear more important in the world that needs media attention than Bruce Jenner and his alter ego, Caitlyn. I mean, that's what really bothering me about the publicity that it's getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, we got
Go ahead. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's a whole bunch. I mean, I just can't. When it comes on, I just have to leave out the room, or I just turn the TV. I just can't, you know. Just me personally, I just can't do it. I tend not to, you know, listen to all that he be she be just whatever you want to call it. They saying how they just think it's so amazing that I just can't do it. And I tend not to do it.
Yeah, me. Like I say, it's just a spirit. It's a spirit. He really got a spirit of confusion on him. And like I say, what we need to do is just pray for him, you know, because we got to be very careful, you know, how we say things and talk things, you know, about people, because we can easily sin, you know, and it can easily be, you know, turn into hatred or anything like that, because, like I said, that's still a soul. That soul need to be prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
He need to be delivered, and, you know, and he need to be, you know, witnessed to, so, you know, told about the goodness of Jesus, so that soul can be won to the kingdom.
Yeah. Oh, I remember me and you was talking the other day. I told you I read that, a little bit of that article. I think his name was Larry Sanders, that turned down that $27 million that played with the NBA, and he turned that $27 million, but he still got $1.9 million. But it's just the fact that he turned $27 million down. What is your take on that?
Like I told you the other day, you know, I guess, go ahead and elaborate a little bit in depth, if you remember, of what that article said and why he done that. You remember?
Yeah. I mean, it was saying that, I can understand, this is what I take of. I understood what he was saying when these young kids coming to the NBA and their mind is not right. It's more what these young kids coming in, it's more mental than physical. Because some of these young kids you see now that's in college, that's coming straight, well, for instance, coming out of high school, going to college, they already look like grown men and already built forward. But, you know, I think is when they get ready to go to the NBA, I understand what he was saying about the mental part, because you have a lot of people, the agents and all of them, the only thing they doing is trying to shove that money down their throat, you know, and not really concerned about that, you know, them getting education or realize, or just tell them, you know, you have to be prepared if you get an injury that you won't be able to play no more. And I think, you know, when it comes to that situation, you know, where they give you the opportunity to sign an agent, you have the opportunity to sign an agent or you don't. And I think if majority of kids, they already looking at that money because the agent is filling their head up, you can get this, you can get this, and not saying, okay, what happened, what will happen if you get hurt and you can't play no more. they don't forfeit their scholarship, and what they gonna do then? You know, but if you don't sign with an agent and you get hurt, you still have that opportunity to go back and finish. You know, even you can't, even though you won't be able to play no more basketball, but you still have that opportunity to get your degree. That well, if you stayed in school and for your 4 years, it's a possibility you could have got hurt too, but you still would have been on scholarship to stay and still get your education. And I understand what he was saying about, you know, the mental part, but it's still, to me, I'm just trying to really get the grasp. He was saying that he wasn't feeling it. You know, he'd been in trouble. You know, he was at the Columbine. I think it was him. If not him, it was somebody else that got caught smoke. They came back to a drug test. You know, they failed a drug test. And it just still kind of confusing to me. And I haven't went back and really finished reading all of it, but that's what I take up when it came to the mental part. You know, because in college, go ahead.
Well, you know, what I don't understand is, see, being able to play a professional, be able to play a sport good enough to get paid for, that's a gift. That's a gift from God, where it's used for you to be able to take care of your family with and do things with that's productive, to be able to give back to the kingdom of God. The Bible says, "Let your gifts make room for you." And when you got a gift like that, and you able to take it to a level of getting paid in that amount of money, I find it very hard to turn down. But when you're dealing with that type of money, it comes with knowledge. You got to have knowledge to be able to handle that type of money.
Yeah,
because,
that's true.
You know, if you come from nothing, if your mind's not prepared to be able to handle that magnitude of money, then you're not going to be rich long.
No, you're not.
And, of course, you know, more money comes more problems. The more money you get, the more so-called fake friends going to attach themselves to you. Family members going to come try to attach themselves to you just because they want to get what you got, so it comes with a whole lot of other problems. So I think when you get that type of money, you need to be mature enough to be able to handle that type of money. Because if not, then it's going to create a whole lot of other added problems.
Right.
You know, like I say, you got to be, you know, it comes to a level of maturity. See, the Bible says when you're faithful over a few things, you make it rule over many. If you're faithful over a dollar, it'll give you $10. If you're faithful over $10, it'll give you $100, and so on and so on. But you got to know how to manage that money.
Yeah.
And if you get hold of that type of money and know how to manage it, like I said, you're going to end up being broke. So, you know, it's a couple of different ways you can look at this. You know, we look at it as, what was it, $21
million? Yeah, it was $27 million, but he still ended walking away with $1.9 million. I guess that was his signing bonus up front. But,
well, apparently
he
didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
If you're going to play the game, see, look, Chelsea, you're getting paid to play a sport that you love to play anyhow. So, you know, I know it's kind of hard for us to see on this end. What is so hard about a big contract as that and turning it down and walking away from it? I, you know, it's kind of hard for me really to kind of understand, but, you know, I guess he had his understandings and his methods on why he did what he did. But for me, you done did all this work all these many years, showing yourself, going through high school, going through college, going through the draft to get drafted, then all of a sudden you're going to walk away? That really don't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a whole lot, too. I read majority of it, but I was going to go back and really get into it and find out what really the problem is. And, you know, another thing that I've seen on the news as well is about this terrorist guy that was over here in the United States. He was going to Texas to try to kill this woman. I think she was a cartoon artist or something, I'm not for sure. Instead of him going there, he ended up getting in a shootout with some police officers. And it's amazing that how we put all our stuff out there, you know, with the government and military, and people can still come and manipulate people over the internet to do harm to innocent people. I got a big issue with that too, but you know, I think, you know, it goes all still go back to us as men. We take our rightful place. I think a lot of this stuff that we can eliminate, you know. But you know, it's one thing we have to do with our brothers is let them know, you know, who God is and what God has done for us. But still, we need to get down to the core of what they going through. You know, that's one thing with me. You know, I don't judge them. I listen to them. It's just like when my wife come home from work. You know, I pay attention. I study and see what her reactions is when she come in the house. You know, and then if you don't study your wife, your girlfriend, or whoever your significant other, if you don't study them, she comes in the house or he comes in the house mad and you don't say nothing, and then you ain't doing nothing but adding more fuel to the fire. And that's what one thing I try to, when I witness to men, you know, that we do have to take our rightful place, you know, because me and you was talking again the other day, and I was talking to some old guys about if we don't step up our game, and you wonder why women go to other women, you know, you wondering why women act the way they act. You know, we have to look at ourselves. It's about doing inventory on ourselves. What can I do to make myself better in order for my wife, my kids, or my family, or my community, or the church that I go to make an impact? It don't take much. I mean, but we can't force nobody to come to Christ. But it's one thing we can tell them about God. We can work with them. And like I said, my main thing, I know a lot of people try to beat people over the head. I've spoken to people, guys especially, only reason why they don't come to church is because of what somebody else done, or, you know, what church people have done. But like I told them, you don't go to church for them. You go to church to strengthen your inner man and become that man or that woman that God called you to be. And, you know, like, you know, people tell you, well, if the church folk doing it, I might as well stay out here in the world. But you got to understand that not all people that's in church doing it. You got people in the church that have that real compassionate love for others. Then you got some that's just there to take up space, or, you know, they just there to say they win. Because I look at it this way, if you go to church, I'm going to ask you, if you proud about you going to church, yeah, I went to church, center, what was the topic? And you can't tell me, then that makes me think, what was you doing? You just there to be seen or see what's going on, or you there to get fed so you can mature in Christ and build your inner man up, or your, you know, as and want, build yourself where God can keep using you? That makes me think about that sometimes. You know, what do you think about that? That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, pretty much it is what it is, Johnson. You know, that's a different situation all, you know, in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really kind of hard to say, cause, you know, when you know dealing with people, man, it's just the world is just the world. Whatever going on out here, people think what they want to think when you start dealing and talking about going to church and listening to what the word is. A lot of folks just go to church for just to say they went. I can say a lot of them, you can ask them what the message, what was the sermon. A lot of them can't tell you that, cause a lot of them going for different agendas to see who's there or trying to catch the attention of somebody else. It's just a different situation out there when you're dealing with folks that call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a couple of callers out there. If you're listening to the show, what is your take on what me and Jerome was just discussing about, put it this way, church folks? If you got a question or comment to what we just said, you know, press 1. We'll be glad to hear what you have to say. Because at the barbershop, we like to give everybody an opportunity to express themselves and with an open, to the topic. Anything that we say, you have any question or comment, feel free to press 1, and we'll let you in and see what you got to say.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, Chauncey, about church folks. See, everything in the church ain't saved. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything through the church. The church is supposed to be a hospital for those that are going through in sin to get there, to try to get some inspiration for their soul salvation in order to get saved and get delivered, But folks, they get so holier than thou in church, and they want to act so holy on Sunday. And then when it comes to Monday through Saturday, and they want to live in the old sort of way. And then you got a lot of sinners out there that want to come to church, but they've been turned away from church because they know you in church because you call yourself a Christian. But through the rest of the week when you're out of church, you're not acting Christian-like. Or
right.
Should I say Christ-like? So, it's just a lot of situations going on, in church. That's why we're not supposed to go to church for man. We're supposed to go be led by the Spirit so God can lead us where he wants us to go to, the church that he chooses for us to be in, that's Holy Ghost fed, Spirit fed, so that we can get what we need for the uplifting of our soul salvation. And you don't need to pay attention to man. Long as you have discernment and can discern the Spirit and read the Word and know the Word, then you won't have to worry about what Sister Sally or Deacon George or whoever in the church, what they're doing in the church and out of the church, because you're not going for that. Because they're there for a reason, just like you is, trying to get ahead. But you got to make sure that place is where God wants you to be, so that you can get what you need for your spirit.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I always said I got a compassion. I'm a compassionate brother for other brothers and young men's out here. I know we got a big men's conference coming this month, and I'm looking forward to it, to be around some strong brothers. And I was talking to it was a young guy at work, 19 years old, and I listened to him the way he talked, not to say I'm judging him, but for, we try to tell him, you got to, I seen the way he talked to people, and he really don't have respect for older guys. I don't know if his dad, if he talked like that to his father, or it's just men, the guys that he worked with, period. And me and one of my coworkers were talking. He was like, Chance, he just don't have no respect for us older guys. I said, well, it's one thing with me. I'm going to show you respect, but, your respect should be given back. And me and him was talking one day, and he kind of got nasty with me. I just laughed at him. It's one thing about it. I don't go to work to try to please nobody. I go to work to do what I got to do, to get that paper, to take care of my family, to provide for my family, pay my tithes and offering. And, it was bothering me, but, like my pastor teaches us that when people come at you with attitudes and stuff, you don't look at them. You got to look at is the enemy using them, and they don't know it. He said some harsh things, but, I just laugh. And it's one young guy on my job that I have really clinged to, and I know that God had put me in his life for a reason. And me and him talk. He's been to church, but he admit I quit going, and I can respect a person when they tell me, well, I just quit going, And he said, I really don't have no reason why I stopped going. I just quit going. But, you know, I was talking to him, and I can see in his face, and I can see in his eyes that he really wants to get back in the church. And I could tell this, you know, there's other things that's bothering him, and me and him was talking, and he was like, I want to build a relationship with my father. I try to, but I keep running into a wall. And when he said that, I don't know if anybody else heard it, but I know I heard it clearly, the hurt in his heart when he said that. And then the look in his eyes when he said that, it was like he was just about ready to cry. And I was like, man. And, you know, I've said plenty of times on this show, I don't know how it feels to be without your father. You know, because my dad was in my life for 48 years until, you know, he passed away. And I seen him every single day. Not a day didn't go by that I didn't see my dad, because my dad raised me and my sister, you know, with the help of my great-grandmama, my aunt. But just him himself being a man raising us, you know, then when you hear other, you know, men, kids, you know, when they talk about it, the look they have in their face, and you can feel that sincere heart, you can tell that their heart is broken because the dad is not there. And, you know, and I just heard the Holy Spirit just say, keep talking to them, keep talking to them. And I just kept talking to them. They never beat him down. They never badmouth his dad or nothing. I just kept encouraging him. You know, I told him, you know, everything's going to be all right. You just, but until that time being, you build your relationship back with God. And pray. I said, because God can bring your dad back into your life. But there's one thing about it. When he do come back, you know, sit down to him man to man. You know, don't judge him. You know, but still let him know how hurt you was about him leaving. And ask questions. Why did you leave? I mean, that's one thing, you know, I try to tell, you know, I tell him, don't be afraid to ask your dad, why did you leave? Because, you know, some kids, you know, think they the blame or they the reason why their dad left or even their mom left, you know. And it's one thing, because I've been through that with my son, my oldest son. When he was graduate from high school, he told his mom, my graduation won't be right unless my pops is here with me. He said, it's plain as day. And I knew from the time that the situation that happened with me and him, I always wanted to be in his life. But it was his mom that was keeping me and him from each other. But I always knew it was going to be a day when he was going to come. He going to really want to know why my pops weren't in my life. But when that day came for him to graduate from high school, he went straight to his mom and he asked, where's my pops at? I want my pops at my graduation. It won't be right if he not there. I don't know what he really said to her, but that's what she told me. That's what he said. But I could just imagine how she felt when she knowing that she had something to do with me and him not being in each other's life. Because I respect her, because she came to me and she apologized for the things that she done, keeping me and him from each other. But like I had told her years ago, I said, if you don't never let him say nothing to me or be around me, let him meet my side of the family. You know, my grandmama wanted to spend time with him. My aunts didn't want to spend time with him. You know, my aunt was a school teacher, and she was in the military. She wanted to have make a bank account for him, so when he get ready to go to college, he would have enough money that he won't even have to ask nobody for nothing, to buy no books or nothing like that. But his mom never did it. But I can't say I got much respect for her now, because she came to me and she admitted that she was wrong. And that's one thing I have a big issue with, is these men having babies and leaving. Like, I was talking to one of my friends the other day. He was like, you know what, Chance? He's like, babies having babies. I said, yeah, that's true. I said, because My thing is, I try to tell men, if you're not in your, get in your kid's life regardless. If you don't have nothing to do with their mama, or women don't have nothing to do with the daddy, still let that father be a part of that child's life. Because our daughters look at us, so when they grow up, they want to marry somebody like us. And they watch us how we treat their moms. And that's one thing about Ella Wilson spoke on that today at church. As men, we have to, regardless whether we with that woman or not, or the mom is with the man, we both supposed to show respect to each other. Because how would you feel if somebody came to your daughter and wanted to marry her, and it was the same way you was toward your wife? And that's something to think about. That's why when I'm with my wife and my baby girl, or either when the kids are around, I always let my kids see me, tell her I love her, hug her, kiss her, tell her I love her, hold her hands, open her door, and I explain to them, this is what you want. You don't want nobody who's going to hinder you or bring you down. You want somebody who's going to be there with you through thick and thin and help you go to that next level in life. You know, like my oldest daughter and the boyfriend she's with now, I asked them, what are your intentions with my daughter? If you ain't here to help her finish getting her education through college, to become whatever she wants to become, and you just here just to be here, then it's best you go about your business. I don't know about no other fathers, but that's how I feel when it comes to my daughters. You know, I try to be a good example. I'm not perfect. I don't cross every T, dot every I. But it's one thing about it. I show the love and compassion in my house. I show the same love and compassion in the street. And my heart for our brothers, just like me and you, how we talk about what we want to do. We want to help these men become better men, better fathers, better husbands. Because back in the days, you know, you had the women, they were looking at the thugs. They wanted a roughneck, but now you look at it, they ain't studying them no more because they doing too much. Now they looking for that man who got his head on right, a man that's in church, a man that who's a leader and who will stand up. But that's why, like I said, I thank God for giving us this platform, the barbershop, that we can reach these men and show them and tell them and guide them and give them some word to help them become that man. It's not too late for them to change their life around and become a better man. But we can't force it to them. You know, all we can do is encourage them, keep them in prayer, and let them know that we care. It's just like with little kids. You can be amazed when you talk to little kids and you tell them you love them, especially the ones who don't have no, their dad is not around, they don't know them. And being a mentor, it could be any kid you find that don't have no, his dad ain't around. Spend a little time with him. And I know you ain't really got to say much. Just show them that you care and that you love them. You can see them do a whole 360-degree turn because I done it. I seen it from my very eyes.
Let me elaborate on something since we right there where we are. Look, that young man that you were talking about on your job,
mm-hmm.
Well, you were talking about two men. You know, you were talking about one young one don't want to respect the older. And then
right.
You said about another one that you think that God, you know, put you in his life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he put you in the other guy's life for a reason too. See, now,
yeah.
We want to set the platform to be our brother's keeper. See, that's a brother and that's a soul as well. You understand what
right.
I'm saying? Even
yeah.
though, see, he's a challenge. He's a challenge. See, God always tests us. He put challenges ahead of us and see if we're going to do what we say we're going to do. Because if you can, you see, you're going to have plenty of guys. It's my fact, it's plenty of guys out here with the attitudes, just like the one that you were saying, just like the one you were talking about on your job. There's plenty of them out there that's been very disrespectful, don't want to listen to nobody. Okay, that's the task. Okay, what do we do to try to grab their attention, to get them to hear, you know, a different side of what they believe? Because you don't really know what their story is. It's like you were saying about, you know, the kids don't have their daddies in their lives. You don't know what that young man is going through and why he's lashing out and being resentful like he is. Mm-hmm. So what you got to do, you still got to keep doing what you're doing. You got to show him some love and some compassion. You understand? Because love overcomes hate. And and just pray for that young man. You understand what I'm saying? And keep doing what you're doing. Eventually, he going to grasp hold of what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying? And then he going to come around, and then you're going to see a different side of him, because apparently deep inside he's hurting. He's confused. Yeah. He's going through some things. And, you know, when the devil using you, then that's what go on with you. You outside of yourself, out of your normal self. You understand what I'm saying? Especially if they don't know right from wrong. But if you keep living right, keep doing right, keep leading by example, then that young man eventually, if he don't come around, God will move him on out of the way. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's an obstacle for you. That's the obstacle for you that you're going to have to overcome. You're either going to have to, you're going to have to find a way to conquer it, or God will move it out your way. But that's a test for you. That young man, you said this is the barbershop and our brother's keeper. So then you got to step up and be a keeper. You got to work with that young man. You got to try to talk and try to find out what's really going on with him, because that's a test for you.
Yeah, because I noticed when me and him had talked, and I had told somebody else, I said, before it's all said and done, he will respect me. Not being arrogant, but is the way I act towards him, or, you know, because I'm the same way. I don't try to disrespect nobody, and I don't want nobody disrespecting me. But, you know, it is what it is. Some folks, like you said, they're going to disrespect you. And he came to me. And he apologized for what he had said. And I had told him, I said, oh, wait a minute. I said, you already forgiven. He was looking at me like, huh? I was like, man, I don't let that get to me. Right. I said, because I know you're going through some stuff. I said, whenever you feel, I'm not trying to pry into your business, but whenever you're ready to talk, you can talk to me. I said, I'm here. I said, I'm not going nowhere. I said, but it's up to you whether you want to talk or not. And I told him, I said, if you want, I'll give you my number. I told him, I said, some things you can't tell everybody. I said, because some guys going to make they're going to pick at you, just like how we were saying, what men going to make fun of you because you going to somebody else telling them that you got a problem. That's not going to make you less of a man. Like I said before, once before, I would respect you even more if you came to me and told me, look, man, I'm going through some stuff. I can you help me out? Can you, give me some advice or, what should I do in this situation? I like when God uses me. I like when the test is coming, because it makes me get even hungrier to even keep pushing what God called me to do. I don't take what I'm doing for granted. I don't take my life for granted, because I tell these guys that I know how I feel when your dad is there. I don't know how it feels, so I can't tell you how I feel about it, but I can show you how I feel to you the same way my dad was in my life. I can be in yours.
And that's the
any callers out there? Any callers out there on the comment or what me and Jerome, feel free to chime in, or if you have any topics or questions that you want us to answer, feel free. Just press 1. Jerome, you got anything we can throw out there to the people that's listening?
Well, I'm just sitting here listening and carrying on, with what you're talking about. And like I say, you hit some crucial points, so you can't give up on them. You just got to try to approach them in a different manner, to the point where you can, show them that you really can relate and understand with what they're going through. Because, you can't always just throw the word on them. You got to be able to come down to their level and be able to win their trust. You understand what I'm saying? So that you come in and elaborate with them. Then, you talk to them and tell them, what you've been through, your testimony, and let them know how God brought you out, and let them know that he done it for you, he can do it for them. So, you know, it's just some concept when you're dealing with, you know, an individual that's not spiritually fed or motivated or know anything about the word. You know, you just you just got to know how to be able to, as they would say, sell yourself to be able to get them to open up so that you can tell them about the goodness of Jesus. Because you can't just automatically just walk up there and tell me, let me tell you what the Lord said, the Lord said. They ain't trying to hear that. The devil ain't trying to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta try to come in another angle to try to get to the people and try to get them to understand, you know, that, bro, I'm just like you. I'm human. I've been through just like you've been through. Because the concept of what I've talked to a lot of unsaved people, they got the whole idea that saved folks will get that they've been through, that they think they're better than everybody else and think they're higher than everybody else and don't realize that they've been through just like I've been through. So you got to remember that when you're coming to them to help them, let them know that I understand what you're going through, I understand, have some compassion, and let them know I've been there to the point where let me tell you my story, my testimony.
Right.
Just like me and you, and I tell my guys on my job, I tell them like this right here. I said, look, I came out of the project. I said, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it because God brought me out of the project. My parents, they worked hard to get us out of there. They provided. My dad, he was there just like your dad was. He showed me how, you know, showed me how to work because he always worked. He built value in, you know, in me to the point. And my mom, she is still the word. I was brought up in church. I'm telling you, man, back then in the old days, we stayed in church. It's pretty much seemed like 7 days a week. Revival, Bible study, all types of things was going on back then. So I was brought up, went to school, got out of school, and then had to go to church at night, go to a revival or something. My mom kept me and my sister and brother in church. And I'm be real with you, Johnson. We stayed in church so much. Man, when I got old enough to make my own decision, I didn't want to go to church. Man, I don't want to stay in church. I'll be honest with you.
I know the feeling.
See, I've been churched out to the point, man, where, like I said, I ain't studying church. But what's in you, eventually, just like the scripture says, you train a child, you know the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And because my folk trained and instilled them values in church in me, when I got older, I left and I departed and I went out and I wanted to spend life for myself to the point where it wasn't what, you know, what it was shaped up to be to the point where I had to come back to Christ. Because, you know, with Christ, hey, when you got God in your life, you trust God, He make all things possible. He provide your needs, He fight your battles. And if you got a God like that, man, that provide all your needs, why you need to go ahead and try to do it on your own?
Yeah,
he make things so much simpler. And I tell you guys that. I tell them on my job, I said, look, let me tell you. Look, I give everything that I accomplish in my life, I give God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in business for myself 17 and a half years, Johnson. And through the recession, through it all, I'm still standing by the grace of God. And standing even bigger than ever because I trust God. God gave me, He gave me the vision. He gave me the business. Before, when I started Johnson, I stepped out of faith. I had never been in business before. I never done anything like that. So when the opportunity came around for me to do it, man, I was scared. So what I had to do, I had to trust God. I said, okay. When I got up in the morning, I said, okay, Lord, you got to order my footsteps. You got to guide me. And also, He made the phone ring. And when the phone rang, Chauncey, I answered the phone. He gave me direction. The next thing I know, it was the end of the day, and I was coming home with a pocket full of money. And it's been going on for 17 and a half years. And I tell my guys, if God can do it for me, He can do it for you. He has no respect to person. If you allow Him to come in your life and let Him order your footsteps, the Bible says a righteous man's footsteps is ordered by the Lord, then He can do it for you. Because I'm telling you, through it all, man, I'm still through the recession, through it all. I'm still here by the grace of God. And that's why I tell my guys on my own that work for me, I let them know, you know, my testimony of where God brought me from and where I started from. Because the Bible said the last should be first and the first should be last. So why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? So that means you got to be a child of God so that you can be from last and be to first.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I try to inspire them through what I'm going through.
Right.
And that's what people understand. Your test becomes your testimony, not just for you, but to be able to be told to help somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't have no problem telling. Every chance I get, I tell my testimony. Because I let the guys at work, and I tell them real quick. I ain't always been saved. I was out there in that world. I knew how it was. You know, when you got to fend for yourself, you got to do this, you got to do what any means necessary. But the whole while, you know, and I let them know the times that when I was out there, I was hurt. I didn't care about nobody. It was all about me, what I can get out of it. But then when reality set in, you know, when God put me in the hospital for 4 days, hey, I realized then, oh, it's got to stop. And I can't keep doing what I'm doing and thinking it's going to get better. You know, that was my first time ever being in a hospital. You know, had a boil on my face and had so much bacteria. You know, they had to admit me and told me I couldn't go home until they got that stuff out. I was like, whoa, wait a minute, you know. And I was telling my testimony to one of my boys the other night because it's been a while since me and him talked. And even I told my testimony to my cousin, you know, and I told him, you know, that's one thing about me. I make sure I get up every morning and throughout my day. If I got to say Jesus' name, I got to give some thanks. Because if we look at it, you know, it could be worse than what it is now. You know, I just thank him, you know, and I was telling my boy, I said, man, all the stuff that I done been through, I can't turn my back on God. I'd be a fool to turn my back on him. You know, I don't see myself doing it, and I won't. You know, because when I think about the stuff that I've been through and the people that I hurt, the women that I hurt, the things that I said to my folks or done to my family, you know, it makes you think. Oh, wow, man, did I do that. And, you know, just like when me and you and my Uncle Ronnie was talking, you know, I just give God so much, you know, so much praise. And just like the day I got my praise on today, because I thought about the things that I went through. And just like I said, Elder Wilson was talking about us being better husbands, better fathers to our kids, you know. I think I'm a good father, but I want to be better than what I am. I want to go even higher. I want to even go higher in God. You know, like my dad told me, I want you to be better than me. I want you to accomplish more stuff than I did. And, you know, but then to hear my uncle and other folks tell me, I'm so proud of you, I'm like, you know, I tell them thank you, but I tell them it won't me. Because if y'all knew the stuff that I went through, y'all be looking at me like, come on, I did this. I done all this. I still strung out on drugs. I got high every day. You know, and I remember my great-grandma always told me, you better get yourself right. And a whole while, I'm sitting there saying to myself, Grandma, you just don't know. When I get back to Raleigh, it's on. I'm going to a party. I wouldn't tell her that, though. But I heard my grandmama say those things. And I tend to believe my grandma knew that, you know, we was out there butt wild, but that's one thing she kept saying. She never judged us. She always told us, y'all better get your life right. You better get your life right. She always said, and I always listened. But just like you said, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the projects. You know? I seen when we had to go to the store with food stamps, and it was a shame to go. But eventually, like, well, this is what we had to do. And look what God brought me to. You know, I'm proud of where I'm at. Believe me, I like I said, when I give God the praise, I give him the honor and the glory. You know, I just thank for everything, you know. And I'm like you, you know, we have to show and tell our brothers that's what it's all about. You know, don't beat yourself down or have a pity party because you made a mistake. Plenty of folks done made mistakes, but the thing is, are you going to stay in that pity party? Or you going to get up like in a boxing match? You get knocked down, what, you going to stay there? Or you going to get up? You know, there's one thing I used to, like my mama told my daughter, my oldest girl, Brianna, she's a diabetic. And I remember a couple of times she was going back and forth to the hospital. And one time, Bree, when she was coming up, she really didn't pay attention to her, you know, taking her shot like she supposed to, but she took them, but she wasn't consistent with them. And I think about this all the time. My mama asked her, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I said, and I thought about that. I said, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I look back at my life, that was a question my mom probably was asking me, and I just didn't hear it. You want to live or you want to die? Because if you keep doing the same thing that you're doing, that's what's going to happen. But if you give your life to Christ, you can do this. You can live. You know, and like somebody told me, I told my boys one day, like, man, you done got saved. You think, I'm telling you, it's the walk with God. We get attacked more than you do. He talking about what you talking about. I said, because the devil already got you. He already know what you going to do. He know your routine every single day. But me, he don't know what I'm going to do when I get up in the morning. When he probably know that I'm up, he was like, well, I got to get him. I'm going to get him. I'm going to try my best to get him. You know, and that's the way I look at it. Okay, you trying to get me? Come on, let's fight. You might hit me, but I'm going to slap you back. You slap me, I'm going to slap you back. It's going to be a fight. I might get knocked down, but I learned how to get up, brush myself off, and keep right on moving. I don't stay in no pity party. For what reason? You know, there's no reason to stay in that pity party. And you have to surround yourself with positive people. And that's the one thing I learned, too. And somebody told me when I got saved that my friends, my boys, was going to, you know, they was going to kick me to the curb. I told them, I said, no, they ain't. I said, God got me still in this group for a reason. He going to use me, and he going to show them what it's all about when you give your life back to Christ. Out of all the other guys, one so far done gave his life back to Christ and doing good. We got a couple more we still talk to. And we don't, and it's one thing, they respect us being men of God. They don't try to force us to do that stuff that we still used to do together. Mm-mm. They don't even come at us like that. They always show that respect to us for the men that we became, the men that we are. And that's what I love about my, you know, my brothers. They love me, and they seem to change in me. So I know they're paying attention. I know they listen to what I'm saying, because slowly but surely, I can see a change in each one of them, slowly but surely. And I know before it's all said and done, God going to change all of them. And like you said, we got to be that example. You know, and I'm glad to be an example. Like I tell them straight up, this walk with God, it ain't easy. But I love it. I love walking with him. You know, this man ain't never lost a fight in his life. So why are you, you know, why you don't want to be on the team with him? Why? I want to run with somebody who ain't never lost a battle. Because when I know I'm going through, he going to be right there with me to help me fight the battle. I have to look at him, man, it's in your hands. I can't do it by myself. And that's what I like about God. No matter what the situation is, he still show his love for us. Man himself won't do that. Man will stab you in the back as soon as you turn your back. I don't see it happen.
No, will.
But I know one person who won't. God won't do it. He gonna always be there for you.
That's right.
Whether you like it or not, he gonna be there. You know.
See, this is what he'll do, Chuck. This is what he'll do. This is what God'll do. When you trust God wholeheartedly, when the trials and tribulation and adversity come, he'll let you see the beginning, and then he'll show you the end. All the in between, you'll never experience. You'll never experience when you trust in God, because he'll go ahead on and work it out in your favor to the point where it won't even touch you.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a test of your faith. But you got to trust God wholeheartedly, and he'll fight your battles. Because they going to come.
Oh, yeah.
But when they come, it's what you going to do. Are you going to trust him? Are you going to let him fight it? And when you let him fight it, you come out with the victory. Every time.
Yeah. Because just like, for instance, the house that we got before we moved here, me and my wife went through a stuff with our landlord. He was going through a bad divorce. And somehow he didn't come tell us what the situation was. He went and told a co-worker of my wife's, talking about he was ready to evict us. He never say nothing to us. So too many people don't know about this testimony, but this is when me and my wife laid our faith out on the line and put everything in God's hands. We gave it to him. We had to go stay in a hotel for a month. But before we left, my wife, one of her ex-co-workers, knew this guy and gave him his number, and we talked to him. I had went to go get something to eat. My wife wanted to get something to eat from McDonald's. She was in the closet, and she came out sniffing. I said, "You been crying?" She was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "What's wrong? You ain't tell me what was wrong." She said, "I got something to show you." I'm like, "What is it?" She said, "I got something to show you." So she had this picture of the house that we in now. And she showed it to me. She said, "This our house." I said, "Huh?" She said, "This our house." And I kept looking at it. And I'm trying to go get us something to eat, wrong. I keep going back in there. "Let me see that picture again." I said, "Are you serious?" She said, "I just came out that closet, giving it all to God and crying." She said, "This is our house." So the guy, the realtor, asked her, "Do y'all want this?" And I heard God speak to me, "Write that address down on your board up there and do not erase it." I said, "Okay." I went and wrote it up there on the board. Then my wife came behind me, and she wrote, "Thank you, Jesus," right up under. And I still couldn't walk out the room until I looked at that picture again. Jerome, I know it took me 30 minutes before I left out the house to go get us something to eat, and my wife's sitting here hungry. I'm hungry, but we kept crying and looking at what God said he was going to bless us with. We didn't tell nobody. We went and stayed. We packed our stuff up, put it in the store, and we stayed in the hotel for a month. And usually when I come home from work, I usually sit up for a while till it get late, because I go to bed early. That's a wrap. I'm going to be up in the middle of the night. But every night that we came to that hotel, no later than 8 or 9 o'clock, we were asleep every night. And you talking about peaceful sleep. I'm like, "Man, we going through this right here." And we just kept praying about it. We kept praying, and we fasted. We prayed, and we fasted. And we told God, "This situation right now is in your hands." Jerome, we even rode around in this neighborhood to look at this house during the daytime, nighttime, any chance we got to come on this side of town to the house, we came over here looking. Every time we came by the house, we said, "That's our house. We're going to get that. That's ours." Next thing you know, we find out this house has been on the market since October. And somebody told me, Chauncey, God had that house hid where nobody can get it but you and Michelle. That was y'all house. He said, I don't know what y'all were doing, but God hid that from everybody else. And the first night we moved in here, we took our pillows and stuff off our couch and we made a pallet on the floor. Like them same nights that we stayed in the hotel, thank you, Jesus. Ron, we had the same peaceful sleep from day one since we've been in this house.
Well, all right.
So that's why I know, if, like you said, if you give God all your heart and faith and trust him, man, that he will bless your socks off.
Mm.
And we 13 cried, Jerome. We 13 cried. You talking about somebody? We came from probably no more than 1,100, 1,200 square foot home to being in a 22 square foot home with a 2-car garage.
Ain't God good?
But the whole while we was going through this mess with our landlord, we never lost our faith in God. We told God together, we're not going, you got to help us.
We were obedient. Sometimes God got to shake the tail feather in order for us to move, because if y'all was sitting in the house that you was in renting, you were content with renting to the point where he had to cause a stir up in order for the landlord to act the way he did in order for y'all to push y'all into y'all next blessing. So sometimes he got to do things we might not understand. Sometimes that's what he does. He create a situation to come up just to stir us up so that we can trust him and so that we can move on into our next blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So you count it all joy. It's a great testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, God knows everything. He's behind everything. He allows things to go on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So by y'all trusting him and y'all keeping him close and y'all kept praying to the point where, like your wife, like you said, your wife, she saw that house and she knew that was she knew that was y'all house. And when you seen it, y'all claimed it together. Y'all claimed it in Jesus' name. And this thing, you know, look what happened.
Yeah.
And you know, I haven't been there. It's a beautiful house.
And I still sometimes I ask myself, I still had to pinch myself sometimes. God, just like when
that's
we were
talking, what God can do.
Yeah. Well,
you keep a phrase on your lip. I'm telling
man,
you, I can do all
man.
Things.
Hey, y'all folks out there, just listen. Y'all just don't understand. Hey, this is what this is testimony after testimony. I got them, but it's one thing about I love God. I'm trying to tell you, just by telling my testimony, showing that if you are married, you gotta stand together. If you stand together as one, like God calls it when you get married, you as one, man, he will do some things for you. Like Jerome said, bless the socks off. Because the first couple of weeks we came home, I was still, man, I'm like, we going home. And we pull up, I'm like, man. It's been a couple of days, I walk around the house just to make sure this man, I keep looking at it like, Lord. This is ours. But plenty of times I went to sleep at night crying because of what he had blessed us with. The stuff that we done been through just in our marriage as a marriage couple. You'll be amazed if you put God first and stick with him. I'm not saying you're going to have some good days and bad days, but still, when you got them good days and bad days, you still got to give God some praise. I learned the hard way. When I have bad days, I'm calling on them. When I got good days, I'm still calling on them. Just like today, I went up there. Yeah, I went up there today. I was like, you know what? I try to be the best husband, best father, the best man of God I could be. I said, but God, you know what? I'm going out here to the altar. I got to give you some praise. You know, pastor preached week for last Sunday, a storm before the breakthrough. I said, I got to get it. For some reason, I got to get it today. And I went and got it. I left the audio booth back there and took off. I said, I got to go ahead and get off. He's calling for the brothers to come through the altar. I got to go. I got to go. You know, that's one thing about me. I don't have no problem getting my praise on. I don't. Good times, bad times, I got to get it. Because I know when I give him praise through all the stuff I done been through, I know he going to take care of me. He done did it too many times and still doing it. That's why I don't understand when you see your brother, your sister getting their socks blessed off of their feet for being obedient and being humble. Why not try? Why not? If God did it for us, he can do it for you. I tell anybody, don't be ashamed to try God. Don't be ashamed to get close to him. That's the best thing you can ever do in your life is get close to him. Because some days I was like, God, you got to, these battles that I'm, you got to help me. You got to. Because I went through some stuff with my oldest boy. Lord, I'm trying to tell you. When me and you were talking about Bruce Jenner, Jerome, don't too many people know this, but I'm going to tell this testimony. I was in that situation with my oldest boy. I cried like a baby when I found out.
Yeah.
But you know what? I never gave up on God. I told God, you got to help me through this because I cannot do this by myself. I went to work brokenhearted, hurt like crazy, but didn't nobody know it. But when I came home and I realized, I walked in the room, my wife said, what's wrong? I looked at her and I went to talking to God. I said, God, you got to help me through this because I can't do this by myself. And like they said, you got to call on the elders of the church to pray. That's what I did. I called all the men in my church and told them the situation about my son being gay. I didn't never stop loving my son. No, that made me even love him even more. You know what? I'm your dad. I'm going to keep praying. Ain't nobody going to say, I'm going to pray because this ain't you. Even my wife said it. That's not our son. That's not him. That's not him. My wife told me, I'm not going to claim that. But you know what? God delivered my son.
That's
one thing I can say. God is a deliverer. He's a healer. I've seen it. I've seen what God can do. I refuse to let the enemy have my son in that situation. I refuse it, Jerome. I cried like I'm crying and y'all just don't know that testimony. I cried, Ron. I refuse to let the devil have my child.
I didn't there you go, that's what you do.
My son. I didn't never put him down, never. But I put him in God's hands. Jesus.
And look what happened.
Jesus.
God be the glory.
Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all just don't know. I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot. But one thing about it, I never lost my love and my trust and my faith in God. I don't have no problem crying telling my testimony because y'all just don't know. Like that song said, you don't know my story. This is the reason why I'm so compassionate when it comes to my brothers. This is who I am. I'm not ashamed for what God brought me from and where he put me at today. This is why I cry and I shed tears, because I know how good God has been to my family. I always put my kids in God's hands and tell him, you got to take care of my babies. That's why I tell anybody who's living that lifestyle, you can be delivered. I'm a parent that went through it. Plenty of nights I cried myself to sleep. My wife don't even know it. My other kids don't even know it. I literally cried myself to sleep because you talking about my son, my firstborn. I refuse to let the devil have him. Whoever going through this situation right here, believe me, God can take care of it. If he did it for my son, he can do it for your child, your friend, your coworker, whoever it is that you're close to. But you got to stay before God. You got to keep praying. Don't give up on him. And let the devil know he can't have your child or your wife or whoever you're praying for. Let the devil know he can't have him. I'm that type of bro. I let the devil know real quick, you can't have my family. I'm a brother who loves God. I love my family, and I refuse to let the enemy tear my family up down. I refuse to let my brothers be destroyed by the enemy. So if you out there listening today, I'm telling my testimony. And it's coming from my heart, because I know who God is. That's why I have so much compassion when I get to talking about men, young brothers, getting their life taken away because we letting the devil have control. We got to put our pride and our ego away, fellas. We got to. I just had to tell y'all that. It was on my heart. I had to tell it. I love everybody who comes on this show and supports me and Jerome. That's from the bottom of my heart. I have compassion for my brothers that's out there just listening. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Y'all just don't know God is good.
All the time.
You don't know him, get to know him. I'm speaking from experience. Try God. Don't run away from him. Run to him. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all just don't know I've been through a lot. I truly been through a lot. But I thank God for saving me. I thank God for giving me a second chance at life to become that man he called me to be. Glory. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, but the Holy Spirit is on me, y'all. I feel his presence. I had to tell my testimony because somebody needed to hear this today.
Amen.
Somebody needed this encouragement. Somebody needed to know what real men go through. We go through stuff, too. we go through. I'm telling you right now, I'm going through right now. But you know what? I still keep pushing. I done been through a lot. But I refuse to lose. I refuse to let the enemy win on this half. Try God. Feel his presence. Tell him how you feel. Hold on to his word. Oh, Jesus. Y'all just don't know. This is who I am. I'm that young boy that grew up in the projects. The same young man that was on drugs. I did it all. But look at me now, because when I gave my life back to Christ, this is what God did for me. I hope what I said to somebody that heard me today, I hope that touched your heart. Because it's from my heart, my experience in the world, my experience of what I went through.
If it didn't touch them, it touched my heart.
That's how much I love God. We learn from everybody's testimony. I told you, I don't have no problem telling my testimony. I just want y'all to know from the bottom of my heart that I love everybody. I hope this word that me and Jerome brought today's conversation we had, it encouraged you. It motivated you, even touched your heart to get closer to God. You know, with that being said, 20 seconds left, like I always do, like I say on Facebook, God loves you, and I do too. This is your boy, your host, Deacon Chauncey Odom, with my road dog, Jerome Pittman. We song strong finest. Y'all have a blessed night. We love you.